Blog Talk Radio.
Metropolitan area, Washington, D.C. and Maryland, it is hot. So I certainly hope that you are drinking lots and lots of water. Remember, half your body weight in ounces, okay? So we want to make sure that we're hydrated and we try to stay cool if you can. I got a show lined up for you today that I've been advertising. It's very, very important part of the conversation when you're talking about holistic health. There are a lot of brothers, black men who are suffering from this particular ailment. A lot of people, not just black people, but black men, but men in particular that are suffering from this particular ailment. And we've got an expert on here who's going to talk about how to reverse prostate cancer. I'm in the studio with my wife, Aquia Shepherd.
Good evening, everybody.
We're ready for a fabulous show. We've got Brother Coy Dunstan on. Are you excited about this show?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Whenever we have Coy on, he always brings the information, and it's life-changing information.
Yes, it is.
And so when we talk about changing and saving lives, I mean, we have people on that have done it and have a track record. And, I mean, we've got people that we're sharing the information with, and they're responding.
Yes, they are. And you know, this information is vital information, and you do have to take it seriously. You know, you have to go all the way with it, especially if you do have an illness. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're promoting these shows, because we want to, you know, connect you listeners with the experts, with the people that can give you the information, that can show you and tell you what you need to do, because the answer is here, the cure mm-hmm. is here, and that's why you can have hope. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to feel like there's no hope. You can't. There is hope.
Absolutely. Thank you, dear. And so without further ado, we're going to get to our special guest for the hour, King Coy Dunstan, as we call him. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's got a powerful, powerful testimony. He's actually cured his mother of cancer of both breasts, the liver, and the colon. And this is a very educated man, a college graduate. I believe it was Antioch College that he graduated from in Washington, D.C. But I'm going to let him give his testimony. Let me move out of the way and welcome our special guest for the day, King Coy Dunstan. Welcome back to Juwanza for Life, sir. It's always a pleasure.
I say good evening to you and your family. Good to be with you again. And we're going to talk about something that's very important tonight, particularly for men. And as we get into it, we'll explain a little bit more about it. But I got started on this road about 35 years ago when my mother was diagnosed with cancer of the breast and the liver and the colon. She was told that there was nothing they could do for her because it had spread or metastasized throughout the body, and they had given her up to die. So we had taken her to Duke University, and they gave her examinations all day. And at the end of the day, they came and told us the news, and we me and my father and I was with her, took her to the hospital, and we heard the news, and we left her in the hands of the hospital for that evening. And eventually, after about a week, they came and say you would have to take chemotherapy or, leave the hospital. So she asked me, what would I do if I was her? And I say, well, I don't know much about chemotherapy. All I know is most people that get it, they eventually die. So if it was me, I think I would just, make up my mind to go home and to meet my maker when, whatever you can do to make your life easier for the rest of the time that you have, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
So she took my advice. She left the hospital after about 2-3 weeks, a month. And after that, I felt an obligation to try to work with her as much as I could. And I found out about how to use the herbs, how to reverse disease in the body, and how to continue the life process or restore the life process to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we started fasting. We started juicing. We started using, honey was the first thing, local honey from a honey beehive.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped a lot. We had to deal with the psychological effect of this news that she had been given that she was going to die. So we had to fight through that. But after all, we settled down and she decided to live, and we started doing some of the alternative methods, and they began to work.
Mm-hmm.
After about another month or so, there was a herb that came on the market called Patiaco. And once she's got to start taking the Patiaco, she had some remarkable improvement. And after she went back to the doctor a few days later, they was amazed that she was still alive, number one, and number two, that she was coherent and had accepted the condition. So after
mm-hmm.
about another month of working with her, the fasting, the juicing, the honey and all that, she settled down and began to recover. So after that, I was convinced that this is what I should do, and I got involved with the company, Nature Sunshine, with the company that I had been working with that had been giving me a lot of the information that I needed. And they still do that today. And we started using the herbs. And after that, I was convinced that that was what I had to do in terms of a life calling, and I've been doing it ever since. This is about 35 years now. I've been teaching alternative healing and assisting people that have a desire to go that way in terms of how to do it and what to do and what can be done to reverse disease. So I'm thankful, and that's how I got to be where I am today and why I do what I do. So introduction to me. But tonight we're talking about prostate cancer,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting to know that it's running rampant throughout the country now, and we've been concerned with what to do about it, but in terms of alternative methods, and the same processes that we would treat any other cancer, address any other cancer, we would do with the prostate. The problem is that by the time you get the information that you have a prostate problem, it's usually too late. Both black men particularly, we don't go to the doctor as we should or as often as we should. So by the time we get the news, it has moved into a full-blown cancer situation. But there are a lot of signs that if we understand them or realize what they are, they would give us some warning that we need to do some things in terms of reversing that condition. And I just want to talk about a little bit of that first.
Okay.
Probably one of the most obvious signs is impotency. You may start dealing with impotency. Now, the prostate gland sits right below the bladder, and it surrounds the urethra through which urinate. So when we start having problems with urination, discomfort in urination, that's a good sign that we need to do something, at least go get it checked out and find out what's going on with that. So that's The problem with that, they usually is that because of the diet or because of stress or whatever reason causes your body, your immune system to break down. Constipation is number one, another one.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to cause the swelling around their prostate, which it surrounds the urethra or kind of covers the urethra. And when it swells, it kind of reduces the flow through the urinary tract.
Okay.
So that's a good sign that you need to at least start looking at what's going on and what can be done about it. It's a sign of inflammation, and that inflammation has settled in the prostate area, and that causes you to lose the ability to produce the hormones, or it cuts off the flow of hormones that's required to have a good sexual relationship with someone, and it can also psychologically affect the man in terms of his performance. So we got the impotency problem. That's probably a good indication that something is going on, and then we go into benign prostatic hypertrophy, and that's when you really get a difficulty with urination,
mm-hmm.
and that's when their prostate is considered to be enlarged. So when you go to the doctor and they tell you you have an enlarged prostate, you really have to heed that it can be to really start looking at what you're doing to cause that prostate to enlarge. Are you constipated? Are you drinking enough water? Are you got some inflammation? And when you get that level of inflammation, we call that prostasis. Prostatitis, and that's really full-blown inflammation or infection that's taking place. And the next stage, you are going into full-blown cancer. So the key here is early detection and getting some answers about what's going on with you as early as you can, as soon as you get the indication that something is not right. You really need to go to a doctor, get it checked out, find out what's going on. And there are ways they can do it. That's some are a little bit invasive, some are not so invasive.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've been told what the condition is, then decide how to address it. Oftentimes, we have this only option is radiation or chemotherapy or something along that line. But oftentimes we don't give our bodies a chance to really settle down and understand what you're dealing with and reverse it by changing the diet and doing the things that we know you need to do to correct the condition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a little introduction to it, and we can get deep into it as we go.
Everybody, I see the people are starting to call in. If you are online and you know not listening by telephone and you would like to ask a question of my guest, King Coy Dunstan, all you have to do is dial 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Let's talk for a moment, Brother Coy, about just the origin of prostate cancer, because as people grow older, then, of course, things start to catch up with us. Things, for example, bad dietary habits that we may have had for over decades, and they start to catch up with us. But when a person goes to an allopathic doctor and is diagnosed with prostate cancer, the doctor is not going to tell them how they got it, because they're not trained to tell you how you got it, but they're trained to treat the symptoms. And the symptoms might be inflammation or, you know, some of the things that you mentioned, but it has an origin. So could you talk about even the role that the diet plays in the origination of prostate cancer? Because again, you might take somebody, let's say we take somebody in their 70s and they have prostate cancer. They've been diagnosed with prostate cancer. It didn't just happen. They didn't just get it the night before. Okay. It was something that had to be going on in the body, in the cells, for some time prior to it even being detected. So there has to be something that actually spawned that cycle of degeneration of the cell. So could you talk about just the role that what we eat, what is the role of meat and dairy and, you know, all of these things, what role does that play in men ultimately contacting prostate cancer?
Well, ideally, you want to look at this, the body as a live enzyme organism. It needs live enzyme food, that means alkaline foods. It needs food that the body can assimilate and digest, and you need to have good elimination. So that's the ideal. For the most part, most of us have been eating animal fat or sugar or a lot of the acidic foods, and those things settle in the body over time and causes constipation, and it backs up the immune system, stops up the immune system, which it has the responsibility of fighting infection. And when you block up the immune system with dairy products or animal products, period, you're going to find that you're opening yourself up to inflammation, the swelling, the pain, urinating, and all those kind of things. And you have to realize that you have to make a change from that. So the idea is that if you find yourself with this kind of a problem, you have to really consider your diet first, I would say, and begin to eliminate anything that basically that is acidic, that's meat, dairy, like chicken, and refined white sugar or white flour. All of those things are basically agents in the body that are not conducive for the body's digestive system, and it creates this inflammation that leads and settles oftentimes in the prostate area. And it's happened, it happens more frequently with black men than other men. And as black men, we need to really look at how we're going to change our diet so that we can avoid some of these problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, brother, would you answer this question? Because there are people who are listening that are either on the holistic health path or considering embarking upon this journey of holistic health. And along the journey, they're going to be, when you're talking about a holistic treatment, they're going to hear the word herbs. Now, as it relates to herbs, you mentioned a very important thing, just as it related, you were speaking specifically of prostate cancer, that it would be important to first change the diet, okay? But would you say that that's the case with any disease, that even before you even start looking at herbs, that you're going to have to eliminate the meat and the dairy and the white flour and the white sugar? You can't get around that. That's not something that you're going to be able to say, okay, well, I'm going to just take some herbs and still eat chicken. Or I'm going to take herbs, still eat beef.
Yeah. Well, we have to remember now, these conditions that we're talking about, arthritis, gout, heart disease, those are indications or warnings that something is going on in the body that the body doesn't like. So when you start getting the pain and the circulation problems and the arthritis problems, they're all coming from the same thing, this over-acid diet, and we have to be mindful of that. So when you when you're looking at the dietary changes or the herbs that you need to use, herbs are, I would consider they're alkaline. They are live foods. They are the foods that the body can use and can keep the body healthy and keep your systems running properly, your hormones and your balances, all of that. We use the herbs to do that. So you can use the herbs in a number of ways. You can use them in a capsule form. You can get them in a loose form. You can use them as your food in terms of replacing them, maybe collard green with some dandelion or some other the green herbs that you can use to help the body less. So that is the number one, I would think, consideration in terms of changing the diet is using the herbs. The herbs are the foods that your body need, and you need to start using them, particularly when you start having problems with these different conditions that we, for no matter what you call it, they all come from, yes, they're associated with eating too much animal fat, too much dairy products, or what we might consider dead food. There's no life in it, and it can only clog the body up and create more disease. And it progresses from a little pain to arthritis, to gout, to heart disease, to kidney disease, to dialysis. It just progresses you into a road to death. So we have to understand that, so that we know that this is that if you have a diet that's high in fat, or that is over acid and say with the sugars and all the other things that we eat that we shouldn't be eating, you have to really start looking at the herbs that you would need to reduce some of that inflammation in the body and to reduce the progression of disease that we go through. So yes, I would say yeah, we need the herbs, and that's the role of herbs, and they work better than anything else you will find. So you can't treat a disease by putting more acid in the body, which is what most allopathic medicine consists of, acidity, adding more acidity in the system. So you want to do whatever you can initially to reverse the process of disease and make it give the body every chance you can to recover or reverse or eliminate the disease that you might be concerned about. That's how I would look at it, yes.
Okay. Well, and the reason I ask that is because, for example, you might take people and I know it's not easy to make a lifestyle change, you know, but you might take people that, for example, you might take somebody that's taking high blood pressure medication, okay, and it's easy to take a pill every day. It's like, okay, however often they take it, okay, I take my pill, but I don't have to change anything. I can just keep on eating my ham, I can keep eating my chicken, I can keep eating my beef, I can still have my macaroni and cheese, my pizza, and all of the stuff that may have contributed to the high blood pressure in the first place. But because this pill, you know, reduces the pressure, then they don't have to change a thing. But when it comes to, for example, somebody saying, okay, well, I'm going to get on this holistic health path, and I heard that these herbs are good, so I'm not going to change anything, okay? I'm just going to keep eating my meat, you know, and I'm going to go get me some whatever, BPX or whatever, and take that, okay? So wouldn't the very thing that caused the condition in the first place, whether it's, you know, chicken, fish, dairy, beef, or ham, or whatever, it would be wise to eliminate that from the diet and not just say, I'm going to just keep on eating meat and just take herbs and expect to get optimally well?
I would say that's a valid consideration. I mean, you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. But these things that we use to these conditions that we have and this medication that they give you to control it, oftentimes just create some other problem. If you have high blood pressure, you just can't take a high blood pressure pill. You have to go back and look at your kidney. You have to go back and look at the water you're drinking. You have to go back and look at the other foods you're eating to really begin to reverse the disease. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself, and you know, the medical profession, they can't sit down with you and go through that with you. You have to do that on your own. Because they don't understand how the body works in that respect. So you have to learn that on your own, and you have to find people that can assist you in making that determination. But most of all, you have to make up your mind that, you know, this is something that I need to do, and I'm going to do this. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself going from one disease to another, from one medication to another, and eventually it's going to lead to the problem that you're trying to prevent, heart attack and disease and cancer. So you have to have that understanding in order to go home. Yes.
Well, brother, again, let's talk about, for a moment, just survival rates. You know, I was reading something today talking about how the survival rate, they consider a successful survival rate for a person with prostate cancer is 5 years. If you make it 5 years after being diagnosed and, I guess, treated with the chemo and whatever radiation that they use, that they consider that successful. And I found that interesting because if you die in the sixth year, then they would still consider that, you know, you successfully dealt with your prostate cancer. But, you know, the goal isn't to just make it past 5 years. You want to live forever. I mean, you want to live for as long as you possibly can. Let's say, for example, if they tell you you got prostate cancer and you're 45, and they tell you that if you make it to, if you make it to 50, that was a good thing, that you actually beat the odds, those aren't good odds to me, you know? So, I mean, when we think about just the body and how it's made and the ability that it has to cure itself, heal itself, once you give it what it needs, the little projection that they give of 5 years and then calling that a success, that's not what I would consider a success. How about you, Brother Gore?
Well, particularly if you still die with the disease, I mean, you haven't done anything really, but just prolong your life a little longer. But the consideration is that you have to understand that you have to make a change. If you have this prostate cancer and you are taking a medication that's not really getting rid of the prostate cancer, it's just prolonging the condition, you're going to find that eventually you're not going to correct the condition that's causing the prostate cancer. You're going to end up dying from it if it's 5 years or 10 years from now. The idea behind holistic medicine is that you want to get rid of that condition, period, and reverse the disease and get it out of the body and do the things that that are necessary to keep the body functioning properly. And you have to really, you know, we've been pushed into this corner of believing that if you go to the doctor, they're going to heal you. And that's a kind of a fallacy because they really don't know how to heal the body or what it takes to heal the body. And they're just, you know, dragging you along, giving you medications that they're getting rich on. And you're still walking around with the disease. It's just they got you some drug in you that's making you suffer peacefully, but it's not really getting rid of the disease or correcting the condition. And we need to focus in on how do we do that? How do we focus in on the condition and begin to reverse the condition and get rid of it? So if you're talking holistic, that's the way you have to go and believe. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself.
And you know what's interesting, Brother Coy, is that it appears that whatever you get diagnosed with, then that will be what they say is the cause of death. For example, you go into the doctor, you have the symptoms, you know, you're having trouble urinating or, you know, you're not able to sustain an erection, brother, and you go into the doctor and he diagnoses you where they run the test and they come back and they say you've got prostate cancer. Now they start giving you chemotherapy and radiation. Now, as a result of this chemotherapy and radiation, other things start to break down because of the side effects. Now your liver is breaking down or your kidney is breaking down or, you know, you're having heart trouble now because of the radiation. If you expire, okay, they're going to say that the cause of death was prostate cancer. Everybody around you, everybody in your family, when they ask, what did so-and-so die of? Oh, he died of prostate cancer. They're not going to say he died of kidney failure, which was caused by the side effects of the chemo. They're not going to say he died of his liver broke down on him, which was caused by a result of the side effects of the chemo or the radiation. You know, so it appears that whatever you get diagnosed as with, that's what they're going to say you died of, regardless of the side effects, the multiple side effects. I mean, we can look at a television commercial, and they might say, okay, take this for asthma. You know, side effects may include, you know, blah, blah, might be 20 things or whatever, you know. And but if you die, then they're not going to say, well, he died of prostate cancer. You know, they'll say that he died of, oh, they will say he died of prostate cancer, but they won't tell you that it was the side effects of the other medication that they give. So the doctors, they're completely off the hook when it comes to when the person passes away. They just go and, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, poor Joe, he died of prostate cancer, but he didn't have liver failure when he went to get diagnosed. He didn't have kidney failure when he went to get diagnosed. When he went to the doctor, he was going for symptoms. One thing, by the time the doctor got done with him, he had kidney failure, liver failure, and some more stuff going on. So it's just interesting to me that once you get diagnosed with something, that's going to be what they claim is the cause of death, and they don't attribute anything to the other considerations. I actually saw and read a interesting article recently about how the question was asked, why are doctors so silent when they are given and presented with proof that the allopathic way is not producing the results that bend towards healing? And, I mean, they are presented with actual studies proving that, okay, the allopathic medicine didn't work, or that the holistic way worked better, but they're absolutely silent on it. They won't speak on it, you know? And these studies aren't just recent studies. They are studies that have been done years ago, decades ago, showing the harmful effects of the side effects of allopathic medicine, and they remain silent on that. Your thoughts, Brother Coy?
Well, you always have to consider the source. I mean, these doctors in the medical profession, they put a lot of money into machines and drugs, pharmaceuticals, and, you know, that's what the system runs on. So mm-hmm. you have to understand that they're not about to say, well, if you go and start eating garlic or eat some fruit or stop eating meat, that would help you. That would be contrary to their pocketbook. So you have to understand that everyone has a special interest or some kind of interest that they like to protect, because that's how they feed their family. But mm-hmm. That's where you have to come in, and you have the right your own belief in the situation, and you have to know how to do that or know what to do in order to keep that system at bay so that you can give your body a chance to do something on its own. But you got to remember, it's all about follow the money. You have to, it's a lot of money in drugs, a lot of money in the medical equipment they use, and they have to pay for that. So mm-hmm. They're not going to be anxious to say that, you know, take a clover and you reverse a lot of these things. They're not going to tell you that when they have about 30 different drugs that they use to address the same condition that they need to sell or use or get the insurance money for, so that you have to understand the system you're dealing with and the predators that how they have been taught to use the system to make themselves rich. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's a psychological event you have to go through to understand that, you know, the doctor has his place and you have to respect that place, but at the same time you have your life to protect, and you have to learn how to do that and be proactive in terms of protecting your own body and knowing how to do that. And so it's been there are people around all of you that help you with that, and you have to, you know, not only trust in your doctor, you have to trust in yourself and what you believe, so that you can avoid some of the shortfalls of falling prey to that system. And it takes some effort to do that, and it takes some ability to do that. Just to go to the doctor and do what they say do is not helping the condition. So you have to get on your own way of learning things, so that you understand the body and how it works. So you, when you're told that this is the only way, if you don't do this, you're going to die, you have to understand that if you do that, you're going to die. So it's mm-hmm. like witchcraft almost, and you have to know how to deal with that to protect yourself.
Well, brother, let's talk for a moment about the role of juicing and fasting as it relates to healing prostate cancer, because, you know, we're talking about reversing it, okay? So there are going to be some things that you have to do if you want to reverse the prostate cancer. Now, again, it's going to take a lifestyle. During this lifestyle change, you're not going to have the liberty, if you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, you're not going to have the liberty to pick and choose which modalities you're going to, you know, if you decide to go the holistic route, you're not going to be able to say, okay, well, I'm going to juice, but I'm still going to eat meat, you know, or I'm going to juice, but I'm still going to use the microwave, okay? There are going to be certain things that you're just going to have to let go of, okay? There are going to be certain things that you like that you're going to have to let go of. Okay, there are going to be certain things that your taste buds have become accustomed to that you are going to have to let go of. Okay, you're going to have to develop, your palate is going to have to readjust, and you're going to have to start doing some other things. Coy used juicing and fasting to cure his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. Brother Coy, could you talk about the role of juicing and fasting as it relates to reversing cancer? Brother Coy? Okay, we're going to get Brother Coy back. See, Brother Coy, you still there? I still see you up there, my brother. Let's see here. Well, until we can get him back. Brother Coy, you there? Okay, we're going to get Brother Coy back again. So, as I was stating, there are going to be some certain changes that are going to have to be made. You're not going to be able to continue to use the microwave because it's deadly. I'm going to repeat that. You're not going to be able to continue to use the microwave because it's deadly. You're not going to be able to continue, if you want to cure your prostate cancer, you're not going to be able to continue to eat meat and dairy. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to let it go. And if you want to remain healthy and you want to continue to operate and function regardless of whether you have prostate cancer or not, there are certain things that you're going to have to let go of, okay? So you might as well get that in your head now, okay? There are going to be certain things that you're going to have to let go of. Brother Coy is back. I don't know what part we dropped you at, Brother Coy, but as I was mentioning, that the role of juicing and fasting, again, there are going to be certain things that you're going to have to do if you have prostate cancer and you have decided to go on the and heal yourself or reverse it holistically, and you're not going to be able to pick and choose or have the luxury to pick and choose what you're going to do and what you're not going to do in terms of, for example, I'm going to continue to use the microwave, but, you know, I'm going to use herbs. You know, it's going to have to be a complete lifestyle change. But speaking of fasting and juicing, Brother Coy, could you talk about the role that that played? You used that as a healing modality when you took your mother through this process of healing.
Yeah.
Could you talk about the role of fasting and juicing?
Well, we have to first look at what we are doing, and if we are honest with ourselves, we can generally determine what we are doing to cause this condition to come upon us, and we have to reverse that process. So if it's not stress that's causing it, stress oftentimes comes from relationships or work or just living. It oftentimes is part of it, but I would say in 99% of the cases, it's your diet, and you have to learn how to go to a live it. You have to mm-hmm. And the juicing is when we say juicing, we're talking about taking the whole fruit or the whole leafy vegetable, just the way it grows out of the ground, or God made it, and we're going to get a juicer, and we're going to run it through a juicer and convert it to a juice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a live enzyme food, and that is the process by which you begin to reverse disease. You can eliminate all other sources. If you're eating cooked food, chances are you would need to begin to give the body more live food. Juicing is the best way to do that. You get the condensed vitamins and minerals straight from the plant or the fruit itself, and your body begins to be able to use it and rebuild itself, and it can't, and it gets to a place to where you can actually reverse the disease. So when we talk about juicing, we're really talking about eating live enzyme foods so that the body can rest and heal itself and begin to reverse the condition that you're faced with. And that's not only with prostate cancer, that's with any disease. You gotta change what you're doing. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself, and you're going to move from one condition, state of condition, or one organ is going to break down, and then another one is going to break down if you don't support the organs that you do have that's not affected. They all would be affected if you don't make that change. That is the mm-hmm. way you reverse disease. You got to go to live foods. Juicing is an excellent way to do that, and that would be the first process of healing the body. And, you know, you can't maybe just do it overnight, but you have to first get a juicer, and then you have to find the best fruit or the vegetables that's available. Sometimes that's not easy to do, and sometimes you have to get ready to do that, get your brain ready just to do that, and learn how to mix the vegetables or the fruit so that you can, so it's palatable to you. You'll find that once you mix them right, they are very delicious and they are very tasty. It's just the process of going through learning how to mix them so that they are palatable to you. And as you get used to them, you can make them stronger, or you can mix other things with them to give you even more additional flavor. And you have to learn how to use the juicer to extract the pulp from the juice. And even using the pulp, you can do that to make, burgers, or use it to make other dishes that would make sometimes ice cream. You can use that the pulp that comes from the fruit of the vegetable to make your desserts. So it's a whole process of changing the way you eat. That is, once you make up your mind to do it, it's not so difficult, and you just have to accommodate that by learning yourself how to do that. With a juicer, a food processor, and a blender, you can pretty much create any food that you want to eat, and you won't be able to tell you're not eating meat, really, once you learn and work with it and, listen to people and learn how to do that. You can pretty much replace your animal fat with just the basic diet of grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables. That's the whole process of healing the body. If we can get people to do that, we can get them out of the doctor's office and get them on the road to taking care of themselves, which is what healing the body is all about. You have to, the holistic approach is learning how to feed the body so that you don't have these conditions with getting the animal fat and all that other stuff. You can't do both. You have to do one or the other. And trying to do both, you're not doing yourself a favor, and it's going to come back to bite you. So, yeah, you can't. You got to make that change for as long as you need to make it to correct the condition that you're dealing with. And I would say if you can just plan to do it for a month or 90 days and see the difference, that you can convince yourself that you're doing the right thing. And, it doesn't take a whole lifetime to make these changes, and it doesn't take very long once you start doing the right thing. So you have to get it in your mind that, yes, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and make a plan and stick to it. Where you do
very
anything
important.
Else.
You can't do both. You can't do both. And you got to have a plan, like you say. Because if it's just something in your mind saying, okay, I'm going to do better. You know, yeah. I'm going to cut back. You know, no, you got to put that on paper. If it's not on paper, it's not a plan. It's an idea. Okay.
Right.
If it's not on paper, it's an idea. It's not a plan. Well, Brother Quinn, let's talk about organic for a second, because, and this is a rhetorical question, because, you know, of course, we know that organic is better than, you know, conventional. But would conventional still have its benefits? For example, somebody says, okay, I can't really afford organic food, but, you know, I'm just going to get this conventional kale, and wash it real good, you know what I mean, and hope for the best. I mean, again, it's a rhetorical question. I know that, you know, organic is better than non-organic, but can somebody who has decided to go vegan or vegetarian and they're using conventional produce, it's still better than, you know, eating meat, correct?
Absolutely. You have to start with what you have, and if all you can afford or all you can get is, you know, supermarket vegetables or whatever's available on the market, then you can do that. That's better than continuing to do what you know is not good. But that's why now we have farmers markets. We have people that grow food. You know, go out and meet them and introduce yourself and say you want some of the food. If you can't afford it, that's a good way to do it. Tell them you'll pick it yourself if you just tell me where I can pick. The farmers markets and the farmers, local farmers, if you can go out and do that, that's another way to get the foods that you need. But whether it's organic or non-organic is important. You don't want to eat a lot of food that's got a lot of pesticides or whatever in it. But there are ways to clean a lot of that off to the point to where it would be beneficial for your body if that's all you have. So you just have to, you know, lemon juice, there's sea salt, all of those things. You can wash it. If worse come to worse, just put a little Clorox in the water and just wash them off. And rinse them as best you can, and before you juice them, and you'll find that that will work just fine.
You know, Brother Coy, I think you're psychic, man. Aquia Sefnater was here, and she just wrote me a note to ask you this question about what about pesticides. That was her question, and before she even finished writing, you started speaking on it.
That's
awesome. Well, let's talk about fasting for a second, because, of course, fasting, that's going to be a part of it, too. You took your mother through fasting, and we know that there's a way to fast. A lot of people have heard fasting. If you are brought up in any of the major religions, then fasting is normally a part of it. We know that in Islam, they have what's called Ramadan, where they, at a certain point of the year, they actually go on a fast from sunup to sundown. And in the Bible, it talks about how Jesus fasted for 40 days. And, you know, in the Old Testament, I'm sure that the Hebrews probably fasted. And, you know, fasting is not a foreign word, but when it comes to actually fasting, there's a way to prepare for the fast, and there's a way to come out of the fast, and there are things that you're supposed to be doing during the fast. Could you talk about fasting and the role that that will play for somebody who has been diagnosed with prostate cancer? What role would fasting play in their reversing that disease?
Well, fasting is really where the rubber meets the road. You have to, that's your commitment to make this change. And in order to make that change, you're going to have to stop doing what you're doing and move into another area that is more beneficial to the body. So fasting is a way to prepare the body, number one, to spiritually, to make that change, to give you the strength and the ability and the will to do what's necessary. So you got to stop putting the stuff in. If you're eating the same thing every day for all your life, at some point you just need to stop eating it and eat something different. If you do nothing but that, that's kind of a fast. You're fasting from what you usually do, and you're making a change into a different kind of food. Hopefully it's a better food, and you have a better choice of foods. Like now it's watermelon season, so you could just eat watermelon for a week. That would do wonders for the body, because it flushes out all the build-up toxicity that you accumulated over the year, and it'll help you not only flush that prostate out, it'll also improve your any impotency conditions, and also help flush out inflammation. So you're killing like three or four birds with one stone. If you got the ability to juice that watermelon, and when you juice a watermelon, you just wash it off real good, cut it up in pieces small enough to get through the juicer, rind and all, just juice it, and drink that for a week or so, you'll be surprised what difference it makes. So fasting in that respect is not so difficult. You're just changing what you're eating. But when you're really getting to a fast, you want to stop eating anything, and you maybe go from the juicing to just water, then to absolute nothing for as long as you can, and that's how you prepare the body. You have to, you know, flush it out from all the garbage, because you don't want to fast without detoxing or doing something to get that toxicity out, because that toxicity start recirculating in your body, you're really going to have a problem. So you have to flush the body out, get it as clean as you can, and then you can pretty much have the strength and the will and the spirit to not need any food at all for as long as you want to go. It's a good idea to decide how long you want to fast if you go that way. But if you have a real condition or a disease, that is the way to heal your body. We call it a spiritual rejuvenation fast. So you flush it out real good with the fruits and vegetables. Then you move into just taking certain herbs that will give you your vitamins and minerals and your essential fats, the thing that you need to live each day, and just live on those things for as long as you can. And then you eliminate those things and just let the body rest and just not eat anything, or maybe just drink water all day, as much water as you want. So that, and you can do that for 3 days, for a week, for 3 weeks or a month, as long as you decide and you say, this is what I'm going to do, and you make up your mind to do that. At the end of that fast, your body will reverse any disease, and you will be able to come back with the health of your body, but you don't want to go back to eating the same thing you just left. So you have to keep moving in that direction so that you don't bring the condition right back. Because if you don't, if you don't change what you're eating, you're going to find that 2 or 3 months later, the condition is going to be right back and you're going to be in worse shape. So once you make that change and get off those foods that you know you shouldn't be eating, you want to be strong enough to stay on the good course. Not saying you're never going to do it again, but understanding that this is what I need to do, because my body has already told me that we have reached the point to where we have saturated our body with disease, and we got to get rid of this stuff so that we don't bring it back. So yeah, that is the fasting process. You can do it just by eliminating certain foods. You can do it by eliminating certain foods and flushing the body. You can do it by eliminating the flu, flushing the body, and stop eating for as long as you want. So it's a matter of how far and what you're willing to do to get rid of that disease. But if you can fast for, I would say, 21 days, you're in pretty good shape, and you want to do everything you can to keep the body moving, flushing out this stuff, that the disease that you're dealing with. And at the end of that fast, you should be in pretty good shape in terms of being able to say you're healthy. But if you don't do that, you're gonna make it difficult to heal the body completely. It's like going in and out, and you can't do that. You have to go all the way, or you're gonna have to be prepared to suffer the consequences with the condition coming back, maybe in a stronger form or in a worse form than you did before you started the fast. So once you get off those things, you got to stay off them.
That's so important, Brother Coy. You know, as you know, another one of our guests is Dr. Ruby Lazen, who cured herself of thyroid cancer. And one of the things she mentioned was that when she got on the path to holistic healing, that at some point, it didn't appear as though things were moving quite as fast as she would have liked, but that she had made up in her mind that she wasn't going back, you know, that she was going to continue on this path, continue on this journey, and, you know, just see where it took her. But going back, it got to the point where going back wasn't an option, even though it didn't appear as though things were moving as fast as she would have liked for them to have moved. And even with different people who are listening, if you're suffering from prostate cancer or any other kind of ailment, and you're seeing and you're hearing this information and you're like, this is the road that I'm going to take, well, you have to be sold out. You have to be completely sold out. You can't, once you put your foot on this path, turning back cannot be an option, because there may be days when it doesn't appear on the surface as though things are working. If you might encounter, as Coy calls it, a healing crisis, where as you start to juice and fast and change your diet to a livid, your body now starts to throw off these toxins that have accumulated over the years, and you might have a day or two where you don't feel the best. But Coy will tell you that will pass, and you'll get back and you'll settle down. Correct, Coy?
That is correct. You will go through a cleansing process or healing process, sometimes it's called. That's when you know you're on the right track. And if you continue to flush and keep that elimination going, it should only last you for a day or two. But if you prepare your body properly, you won't get that. That's why sometimes if you want to go into a fast, it may take you a year just to get ready to fast. Mm-hmm. You have to eliminate those things that you know you shouldn't do, and sometimes that's not so easy. You might go in and out for a month or two, and then once you get to a place to where you have eliminated them, you can pretty much, you're well on your way to avoiding that a real breakdown and a healing crisis. But if you have a real disease, that healing crisis is going to come, and you just want to fight your way through it. That's when you, once you get through that, you're on the good side, and you just have to let it go. Let everything go out of you until this feeling leaves you. You feel like you're drugged out. You feel like you have no energy. You feel like you can't go on. But that's that toxicity coming out, and you have to flush it out and do what you can to keep it moving, until mm-hmm. you get to a place to where your energy will come back and you'll have more energy than you probably ever had in your life, and you'll be able to go on from there. But yes, you have to be prepared for that. Sometimes it will get you, but preparation is the key. If you do it right, you can eliminate that or cut it down to no mm-hmm. more than a day or two, and you'll be on your way.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I'm going to have him give his information, but I do have a couple more questions, and I think they're very important, because you might have somebody out there that is listening to this show. They have prostate cancer, or it might be something else. It could be lupus. It could be, you know, high blood pressure. It could be anything, okay? And the doctor has prescribed medication. Now, you know, it's been said that you have to really be careful when it comes to the allopathic medication and mixing that with herbs. Okay, so Brother Coy, could you talk about that? Because somebody who might be hearing this information might be like, yes, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get me some herbs and I'm going to do that. There might be a negative interaction with the herbs and the allopathic medicine, but there's nothing wrong with changing your diet. You can start there. There's nothing wrong with eliminate meat. That's not going to have a side effect. There's nothing wrong with juicing. That's not going to have a side effect. But could you talk about, Brother Coy, when it comes to the medication that's being prescribed, you don't just want to go out and just start buying up herbs. Is that correct? I mean, you got to find out. That's okay. Go ahead. I'll let you embark on that.
That is correct. You want to, if you've gone to the doctor and they've prescribed certain conditions to you, you first want to maybe sit down. Once you make up your mind that you don't want to be on these drugs and these drugs are not agreeing with my system and it's not, I don't feel any better, you want to sit down and have a talk with your doctor and tell him about what you're going to do and explain to him why you're going to do it and see what his response is. Oftentimes, or more often now than they used to, their doctors will say, okay, we'll work with you and let you see what you can do with it. But then you have to know what to do. But the fasting is a good start. Once you get the fasting going, it's going to reduce the need for the medication anyway, because mm-hmm. the disease is going to dissipate when you flush your body out and detox. Mm-hmm. If you have a prostate problem, then we know that you need to stop eating a lot of spicy food, because that'll aggravate you. And you want to stop the caffeine. If you're drinking a lot of coffee, you want to stop that. If you're drinking alcohol, you want to stop that. If you're eating foods that's high fat foods, like animal fat from animals, anything from an animal, and carbohydrates, like simple carbohydrates, a lot of sugars and cakes and candies, you know you got to stop that. So if you stop that, chances are your problem is going to clear up, and you won't need the medication. But if you once you do that, you have to know how to bring the body back around. You want to make sure you have your vitamin C, the 5,000 milligram non-acidic vitamin C. You want the vitamin E, probably at least 400 IU. You might want to take it up to 1,000 and see the difference to go up to 1,000. And you want a lot of zinc. Zinc, it rebuilds that urinary tract and the reproductive system, and it also helps with removing some inflammation, but it's particularly good for the reproductive area down there. So you want to add those things to your diet. Even if you're juicing, you might want to add those supplements to your juice and take them with your juice to get the results, get a faster result or quicker result. But the vitamin E, the vitamin C, the zinc, all of those are important vitamins that you need. And you want to make sure you take the herbs like the moringa and the pardiaco and burdock and dandelion and all the things that we know that are high in nutritional value to help rebuild the body and kill the cancers that we or the diseases that we are faced with. So that's kind of the way you want to do with that. If you want to get a good program, that would be a good start, and you can go from there to increasing it or to adding other things as you discover them, and start adding them to your diet and just start taking them and just keep taking them every day. If you know that's what you need, take them. They're not going to hurt you.
Well, it's very important that if you don't know, ask somebody that does know. Brother Coy's telephone number in Washington, D.C., he's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature, is 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Again, I think it's worth repeating. Again, if you are under a doctor's care and you are being prescribed medication, allopathic medication, he's giving you something that you have to go get a prescription filled to get, okay? Do not just run out and start getting herbs that you heard are good for this and good for that, because the herbs could not work well with the medication that you are taking. It's best to start with your diet, taking the things out of your diet that you know you shouldn't eat, the meat, the dairy, and the sugar and the salt and all of those things. That's where you should start. Do not just run out and start grabbing some herbs because you heard that they're good for this and good for that if you're under the doctor's care, because you could have a bad reaction. Correct, Coy?
It can cause a reaction or cause the medication not to do what it's supposed to do in terms of reducing the disease process in the body. So if you do find yourself having or wanting to do that, you have to at least separate them and not take them at the same time. If you can separate them by 2 or 3 hours, chances are you can get away with that. But if you're taking them at the same time, they'll cancel out each other and you get no benefit. But in 2 or 3 hours, any medication you take is going to be through and done what it's going to do anyway. And so the herbs are the same. So if you only have to take it in the morning and at night, your medications, then you can take the herbs 2 hours after and all the way up to 2 hours before you have to take your medication again. So you can do it, but you have to just be careful that you don't do them at the same time, at least a couple hours apart.
Everybody, Brother Coy, could you give your hours of operation and your address? Because I know that if people are in the Washington, D.C. area, that they want to get by. And if you're not in the Washington, D.C. area, but you have a question that you just don't want to ask on the air, all you have to do is call Brother Coy. He has an awesome shop in D.C. He actually sells bulk herbs. And again, this isn't a sales pitch. Every time, you know, you talk to people about certain things, they get spooky and think you're trying to sell them something. Listen, you've heard this information. It did not cost you a dime to hear it, okay? Now, the information was given so that you could ponder it, so that you could sit back, think about if what you heard today was intelligent. Think about if what you heard today is the answer to a prayer that you may have been praying, or could be the answer to either a prayer of yours or a prayer of somebody that you know. We encourage you to go back and listen to the archives. If there's somebody that you know that is suffering from prostate cancer, or if it's yourself, then you can always go back and listen to the show again. You can tell them about this show, and they can tune in and they can listen and hopefully benefit from the information. We're not trying to sell you anything, but Koi does have a shop. Okay, now if you are interested in getting herbs, Koi sells herbs. Okay, if you're interested in getting information, Koi gives information, just like he gave information today. You can pick up the phone and call him at 202-562-0041. Now, Brother Koi, if they're in the Washington, D.C. area and they want to come stop by, what is the hours of operation and the address?
Usually I'm there between 8 and 6 every day except Sunday. Now, if you come in out of town and you want to see me, I would suggest you call and at least let me know you're coming so I know if I was planning to take a day off that I can't take that day. I'll have to be there to meet with you. But that would be nice if you would let me know you're coming if you're out of town and you want to talk to me. But otherwise, usually I'm there between 8 and 6 every day but Sunday. Sometimes I'll take a day off, so that's why it's important to let me know. I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest in Washington, D.C., and the telephone is 202-562-0041. So the more communication, the better I can help you. If you give me a call ahead, I can sit down and maybe ask you a few questions and be better prepared to assist you. And I can show you not only the herbs, but some of the things that you can do to change the diet and let you taste some things to see that whether or not you think you can do it or not. But we try to be holistic in that respect in terms of addressing whatever concern you may have and giving you the ability to decide whether or not you want to try it yourself or give you some ideas on how you can make that change in your own life. So that's what we do, and be glad to assist anyone that needs it. So give me a ring or stop by if you happen to be in the area between 8 and 6, and you'll probably find me in the store. But it's always good to let me know if you're coming so that I can be best prepared for you. But that's kind of how we work, so be glad to assist anyone that needs it, and let me know what's up with you, and I can give you some good advice in terms of how to address it or what to do to address the condition that you might be faced with.
You know, Brother Koi, your shows are always so powerful and informative, and it's, you know, we talk to each other, Queen Septentia and I, we talk to each other, and we're always like, wow, everybody needs to hear this information. Everybody needs to tune in to hear this information. And I just want to say, again, I appreciate you, brother. I thank you for your time. You know, I thank you for all of the shows that we've done. Everybody, again, we have archives. You can go back and listen to Brother Koi. He's got, again, an awesome testimony of curing his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon. If you are suffering from prostate cancer, if you are suffering from breast cancer, if you're suffering from liver cancer, kidney cancer, any kind of cancer, if you're suffering from any kind of ailment, whether it's HIV, whether it's AIDS, whatever it is, God has an answer. And the answer is not to come. The answer is here. The question is, are you going to do what it takes? Because, yes, there are some people that God heals just like that. There are others that have to reverse the disease on their own. There are some people that have to fast. There are some people that have to juice. There are some people that have to, you know, change their diet to a livid. Okay? Are you willing to do what it takes to live? You might have children. Would you let chicken go if it meant that you could stay here on this planet longer with your children? Would you let meat go if it meant that you could live longer with your children? Dairy, would you let it go if it meant that you could live longer with your children? I don't care what it is that you have. You know, I was listening to a show that we did not too long ago, Brother Koi, and in it, we went down the list of how easy it is to cure disease and how short a period of time that it takes to do it. I like to do that again. Brother Koi, Arthritis. How long does it take to reverse arthritis?
2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
2 or 3 days. Brother Coy, how long does it take to reverse diabetes?
Less than a week.
Less than a week. People have been taking diabetes medication for years.
Yeah.
Okay. High blood pressure, Brother Coy?
Less than a week.
Less than a week. People have been taking high blood pressure medication for years.
Yeah.
And I know that with cancer, people might say, okay, that's a big one there. Cancer is one of the easiest things to cure. Isn't that right? Correct,
probably,
Brother Coy?
Yeah. All you got to do is stop feeding it. As usually you got some yeast problems, a candida, some reason that creates that cancerous condition, and once you clear that, you're good to go. It may take 2 or 3 days or something like that to get the body in a state where it can fight that disease, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about lupus, Brother Coy? Somebody out there might say, well, I got lupus. What about that?
Well, if you do the right thing and be consistent, you can deal with that in less than a week. At least to reduce the spread of it, or you may have to do more to reduce some of the visible signs, but you can pretty much reverse it in a week and keep doing it, and you'll see the condition change.
Wow. And see,
it's just
that
a matter of doing what's necessary.
Wow. That just speaks to the power of God. And see, think about it. Coy didn't make the herbs. Okay, God made the herbs, okay? So when you hearing this information, this isn't Coy saying that, you know, I'm the only one with the answer. Anybody that does this, okay, correct, Brother Coy? Anybody that does this, if you change your diet to a living, you're going to see results.
That's great.
Okay, the herbs have vitamins in it. There are certain herbs that are high in vitamin C and all of the vitamins and minerals that you need, you know? So I'm numb after hearing that list again, brother, that you just went down and shared. Many of the things that people are suffering with and have been suffering with for years can be reversed in days.
Yeah.
That is absolutely phenomenal. And again, it speaks to the power and the intelligence of God and what God has created. And he's put the answer here in the earth realm. Brother Coy, I know we've gone over a little bit, and I just want to thank you for graciously sticking with us and hanging in here with us. Brother, you have been a blessing to the planet. You've been a blessing to me and my family personally, and are continuing to be a blessing to me and my family. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, if you could, give your address again and ways that people can reach you. Everybody, write this number down. Stick it on your refrigerator where you can see it. Matter of fact, put it on your medicine cabinet where you go to get your pills. Put this number there so you are reminded to call Brother Coy. Brother Coy, could you give your information again, please?
Well, I'd like to close by saying that most diseases are really based in addictions, and we have to deal with the addiction. It sometimes takes time, but you have to get your mind right, and once you get your mind right, it's not a big deal to deal with any condition that you may have. But that's part of what we do, and if you want to talk to me, I'm at 202-562-0041 in Washington, D.C., and the address is 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, and I'm usually there between 8 and 6 every day but Sunday. And if you want to come in and talk to me, just give me a ring and we'll arrange a time. And if you happen to come in, be in town and want something to eat, stop by and see what food ought to be like. And we can go from there. But addictions is really the issue that we're dealing with. And we have to break those addictions in order for the body to respond. We can't go one day and not eat and then not eat meat and then go back to eating. That's the problem. We're addicted to disease and the foods that cause diseases, and we fight to break those addictions and get you on the right track and strengthen you so you can stay with it. Yeah.
And if you're not careful, we'll fight the people that are trying to help you to fight the addiction.
Oftentimes that's what we do, because we say, I've been doing this all my life, and it happened, you know, blah, 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 blah. We just go on and on with these excuses about why we can't change. But oftentimes if you get gout, if you've ever had gout, gout is one of those things that gets you going in the right direction real quick because the pain is so unbearable. But gout, again, is one of the easy things to deal with. And you just have to understand that where it comes from and stop feeding it.
Everybody, give this man a call, 202-562-0041. He's been on this path for over 35 years and has a track record to prove it. And again, we just speak to the power of God. And I hope that this information that you heard today blessed you. I hope that this information that you heard today was compelling enough for you to consider another way. If you're going to the allopathic doctor and he's prescribing medication to you for prostate cancer or any other disease, know that there's another way. Also know this, that if you go to your doctor and you share with him that you heard this show on Juwanza for Life and that you're considering going another way with him, and you're considering going the holistic way, already know that your doctor, male or female, is not going to say, oh, I think that's a good idea. You're bound to be met with skepticism. Might even be, if you share it with family, you might be met with ridicule. Okay, you might be the strange one in the family. Oh, that's the one that don't eat meat, you know. Yeah. But it's about living. It's about making healthy choices that are going to sustain your life. Again, would you not let anything go, any addiction go, to stay here with your children? Well, realistically, in some cases, that's the choice. That's the choice. So I hope that this has, again, been a blessing to you. My name is Juwanza. His name is Coy Dunstan, and I thank you so much for your time. Brother Coy, my mom-in-law, she's on the line. I'm going to get her on one day to give her testimony.
Okay.
Okay, mom can talk about the power of herbs, too. She has a testimony that she's going to share with us one day, I'm sure. And, again, to everybody, thank you so much for your time. Aquia Sefsatere, was this an awesome interview with Brother Coy?
Yes, it was, as always. Thank you again so much, Coy, for the information that you bring and what you do. And, I mean, I know it works.
It works.
We're a witness. We can testify as well. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you both. And without you, no one would be able to hear me tonight. So what you do is even more important. And I pray God bless you and continue to strengthen you in what you do and keep you on the road to healing the community and making us whole.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. Everybody, again, if you know somebody that should have heard this show but didn't, we have archives. About a half hour after this show is over, the show will be entered into the archives, and you can just share the link with whomever you felt should have heard it, and they can go back and they can hear this show. We've also did show, the last show we just re-aired on Tuesday. Today's Thursday. This past Tuesday, we re-aired a show that we did with Brother Coy, which was the day that cancer died. So if you know anybody that's suffering from cancer, any form of cancer, go back and check that show out. Coy is a regular on Juwanza for Life. He comes on once a month, and again, make sure that you just go back and check out the archives and check out all of the shows with Brother Coy. Again, his phone number is 202-562-0041. To everybody that's listening online, I bow to you. Thank you so much for your time. To everybody that's listening by phone, I bow to you and thank you for your time. Brother Coy, of course, King Coy, you know I bow to you and thank you for your time. And to everybody, I say, this is Juwanza for Life again. I really appreciate everybody. Spread the word. You know some friends that you know are sick? Spread the word. Even if you're not sick and you're well and you want to stay well, spread the word, okay? That's what we do here. Thank you again. Peace and blessings, everyone. Shalom.
Thank you.